The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome into All Pro Lines, the podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Kostaki Economopoulos. Comedy football talk, that's what we do here. Thanks for coming in. Yeah, we've got a lot to discuss. I am wearing a shirt that says Kostaki's Irish Pub. I have succumbed to Instagram advertising. I saw a shirt that said you could put your own name in, Irish Pub shirt. And I just thought, what's less Irish than Kostaki? So it made me giggle, and here we are. Kostaki's Irish Pub. Yeah, baby. I love silly shirts. I always have. Welcome in. If you're watching on Facebook Live, we appreciate you guys being here. Most of you, of course, are listening. Jerry Oliver, first one in. He was nice enough to ask the question on Twitter about whether or not we'd be here on Facebook Live. And I responded yes. And it was retweeted by Bob and Tom. We're big stars, Jerry, you and me. Ron Milford, what's up, man? And Heather in Oregon. Yeah, this shirt's amazing, right? It's cool. I'll send you one, Heather. Heather's Irish Pub. So yeah, appreciate you guys coming in. Lots to discuss, very much to discuss. I first want to thank the people of South Dakota and Iowa. They're so great to me. The Sioux Falls show, you know, we set up a show, whatever it was, 4 months ago, sold it out 2 weeks ago, added a show, the second show, sold a bunch of people, a bunch of tickets. We had two full shows. It was just a pleasure. It wasn't a perfect venue, but it was just great. The audiences were great, and they let me meander and work on some of the new stuff about my crazy life. And I did some of the old classics, and I did mostly the new-ish stuff. And people were awesome. And then I got to hang with my buddies, Jeff Harkness and Vicky, big radio, big shots in the Sioux Falls area. And my friend James came far away to come hang with me. He's been one of my radio guys on and off for about a decade. So it's good to see those guys and to hang and drink some beers and talk about life. And then Saturday show I did in this tiny little speck of a town, Nevada, Iowa, in the big, beautiful theater there. Again, imperfect venue, but the crowd was just so cool. And I saw somebody that I met at a buddy's wedding like 25 years ago, and it was kind of fun to catch up with her. And so shout out to Bambi. It was good to see you, lady. And again, just to be able to hang and talk to some of the folks. There was a dude there who like has this big ass Mercedes van thing, like this party van. And he put a sea of dudes in there and brought them to the show. And he came to the after bar and hung out, and he schlepped him home. And it was just like, he had been through some shit. His wife passed away from cancer, and he sort of like sold the old truck and is embracing these other parts. Like, life just keeps churning along, man. Life is challenging and hard for everybody. And we have these bursts of glorious fun and these warm family moments and these horrific things. And that's what life is. And it's just, it was kind of cool to be grounded by regular people who were excited about seeing me tell jokes, and just the process and the act of being out in public and doing the whole thing. And I just appreciate it way more now than I ever did. You know, once it was taken away for a year plus, it's been so fun to be back, and I'm really appreciating it. I'm really enjoying it. So thank you to everybody who's done it. Come see me. I'm out there. I'm working on stuff, and I've never been better. I'm comfortable in my own shoes, and I'm working on the craft of what it is to be a comic. I'm doing basically the Detroit area, Waterford, Michigan here in about a week and a half. And then we're doing a Sunday night in Jackson, Michigan, which is sort of like kind of near Lansing in that same universe. I'm doing Minneapolis, one of the great clubs in the country, for New Year's week. I'm proud and excited to be able to say that. happy they're having me in for New Year's. That's a big deal to me. You know, that's one of the great clubs. If you talk to comics and they're debating their top few clubs, that one always makes top five for everybody. It's just a matter of where the slotting is. For me, it might be number one. It's certainly top couple. Greensburg, Indiana, Lafayette, and Terre Haute coming up that first week of January. It looks like I'm nailing down a couple of things in the Cincinnati area. Details to follow. I'm out there. I'm doing stuff. I'm doing Mahomet, Illinois, and Shelbyville, Indiana. That's in February. So blah, blah, blah. Go to Kostocki.com. Get all the details there. My buddy Brian Miller is going to join us here. We should have had Brian a week ago when his Vikings had just won this magical game against the Bills. But we have him this week when his Vikings lost 40-3 in a game everybody thought would be close. Ah, timing. So that'll be good. Let's do a few announcements. We'll check in on the people. We'll do some jokes and we'll bring in Brian. Monkey Knife Fight. It's great. It's props. It's not DFS. It's not Daily Fantasy. And it's not old school sports book. It's props. Like, is this quarterback going to get over this many yards? And is the other quarterback going to get under this many? You get to pick the over and the under and how much and the, you know, you can pick fantasy numbers over and under. It's kind of cool. It's perfect for island games. You got a Sunday night game, you're watching by yourself, you just want a little action on it, throw down a fiver here and a tenner there, and makes it more fun to follow on the details. I do it. In fact, I'm probably going to do it tonight because it looks like I'm not going to have the kids. I thought I was going to, so I might drink some beer and watch some football and have a couple props riding on it. Monkey Knife Fight, if you throw in the promo code All Pro Lines, the name of this thing, minus the spaces, All Pro Lines, it'll get you a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. So $100. I put in 100 myself and used the promo code and got 200, and my account is currently sitting at around like 220. So it's like I got an extra free 100. You win some, you lose some, you hover around, whatever, 100 plus from where you started. It's, why would you not? Okay. Cameo, you don't know what to give your dad for Christmas. He doesn't want anything. You give him me. You give him me busting his balls and his shitty NFL team for a minute and then wishing him a happy Merry Christmas. That's fun. It's easy. It comes in a very, you know, shareable package. It's something he'll always have. And I don't know why it's he. It could be mom. It could be sister. It could be anybody. But generally, it's dudes. It's older dudes who like me the most. So that's the pitch I'm making. All right. What else promo wise? That's enough. Join us on the socials. I'm trying to build a social media empire and it's fucking glacial. Share my stuff with people. Would you get on the socials? Kostocki Economopoulos. I'm easy to find on all the major social media platforms. I'm doing a much better job now about posting videos. I just posted one today that's about being an older dad. It's got some great jokes in it that I'm not doing anymore. So it was kind of fun to see those. Someday if I do a ship or something, I'll have to re-remember those jokes and tell them all over again. They're good. And of course, the All Pro line social media platforms, all the big four. TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and also YouTube. We're on YouTube with both me and the All Pro Lines brand. So come find us. Do what my buddy Algorithm likes. Old Al keeps telling me shares are the key. Retweets, those kind of things. Shares are the best way to do it. And of course, liking stuff and commenting is also good. Now, people my age, we're not used to doing that. We're passive consumers of social media. We jump on for a few minutes. We look at some things. We laugh. We leave. No, that's not how you do it. You're supposed to do it millennial style. You're supposed to get in there and comment and like and share stuff. And that's how people know you were there. That's the millennial ethic. So you grownups out there, you Jerry Olivers, embrace the millennial ethic, and it helps the algorithm. Help my friend Algorithm says that's how you do it. All right, let's see what else we got here. Andreas is in. Hey, buddy, hope you're feeling all right. It's my bro, Andreas. Dave Burnworth. Hello, Dave. Buddha's back. Good to see your name in here, man. Ryan Chambers. I love a Miller show. Yeah, me too. I look forward to talking to Miller. Sometimes it's hard to get a word in edgewise, you know what I mean? James Shaman's here. I gave you a shout out. Were you here for that, James? I talked about how good it was to see you, buddy. Yes, The Strand, Jerry, in Shelbyville. It's a great old theater with a lot of heart. Those guys have been great to me for years. They just had Todd McComas. They've got Donnie Baker coming up. I'm not going to sell any. I'm not going to sell tickets like Donnie Baker, but I'll hold my own. It'll be all right. Jeff Mattier, great joke contributor on Facebook. He even won one of the things over at the football pool. Hey, join the football pool. If you haven't done that yet, go to the major social media platforms for All Pro Lines. There's a link in the in any of the ones that have headers in. I should know this. It's a little more complicated than it should be. The short version is go to Twitter or Instagram, and there's a link in the bio to the on how to get involved with the Pick'em League. It's not too late to join, and the prize is 4 tickets to see me, good and definitely. So do that. Come join us. You're not going to win the season-long prizes. It's too late, but week to week, we're giving away 4 tickets every week. So come join us. It's a super fun way to it's a fun way to stay connected with football and care about the details of stuff. All right, let's do
the 2-minute drill.
Let's do the Cowboys beat the Vikings jokes before Brian Miller gets in here. 40-3. What the hell happened? Usually to get spanked like that by a Cowboy, you got to pay extra. Usually to see a Cowboy dominate a Viking like that, you got to go to an after party at the Pride Parade. Huh? There's an image. Sometimes a joke is just a funny image. This is the worst thing that happened to Vikings since scurvy. The Vikings played like it was a Super Bowl. Here's what I don't think I can do on Bob and Tom. JFK put up a better fight against Dallas than the Vikings. Yeah, that's a little dark. The offense was awful. I've seen more effective screens on a submarine. Again, it's a funny image. You just got to embrace the Kirk Cousins got sacked more than groceries. To be fair to Kurt, his offensive line was collapsing faster than Twitter. You see, these are the jokes, everybody. The loss was embarrassing. Herschel Walker is embarrassing Georgia less with the vampires and the werewolves. Poor Kirk Cousins. He's going to have to throw away those diamond necklaces into the sea like the old lady from Titanic. Because of the crazy snowstorm, the Bills-Browns game was played in Detroit. It's the first time people have been moved to Detroit for their own safety. That's never happened before. Thunder Snow is what the heck. Thunder Snow sounds like an AC/DC Christmas album. We wanted a snow game. They should have put together a 2 ragtag teams of bar dudes from Buffalo and put on the snow game that we all wanted to see, right? If you get hurt, you don't have to ice your injury. Just lay down. It'd be like a survival movie, right? Somebody gets too cold, you slice open a tauntaun and stick them in there. Yeah, you didn't think you're going to hear a Tauntaun reference today, but there you go. You're welcome, everybody. So the Bills won a home game in Detroit against the Browns. The Browns were like an understudy. Today in Ford Field, the Detroit Lions will be played by the Cleveland Browns. And the Bills play the Lions in Detroit this Thursday. So it's 2 games in a row in just a few days, a handful of days for the Bills in Detroit. The Lions, Jesus. Turkeys have a better record on Thanksgiving. So good luck. Although the Lions did win this week and won pretty handily against what we think is a good team. In LA, people love to cancel things, and yet somehow they haven't gotten around to the Rams season. You would think Rams are 3-7. If the Rams were a show, they'd be canceled by now. Usually when you fail in LA, you move back to Missouri. The Jets offense was bad, man. They had 2 yards in the second half. 2? Zach Wilson, what the fuck? That's only 2 more than Tim Wilson got. And he's gone. Flip Wilson. Wilson Phillips. Wilson the volleyball traveled further than 2 yards. Remember Wilson from the... All right. Dennis the Menace neighbors, Mr. Wilson. There's a lot of Wilsons. What is it? Owen Wilson and those guys? What are you... Should do a Wilson power rankings. The Jets coach said their offense was dog shit. It looks like the Vikings got some Jets offense on their shoe. Huh? Cordarrelle Patterson broke the NFL record with his ninth career kickoff return for a touchdown. He thanked God and the Falcons defense for the many opportunities. Packers broke their one-game winning streak, or depending on how you looked at it, they resumed their six-game losing streak after a brief pause. This Packers season ended faster than one of Aaron Rodgers' relationships. Although I think Olivia Munn is in one of my brackets. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Packers fell apart so fast you think Elon Musk bought them. It's verified. They suck. These Packers wins are harder to come by than Taylor Swift tickets. Huh? All right. Where's Brian Miller? He's supposed to be here by now. Caught in traffic. You're not supposed to be driving before you do all pro lines of the podcast. All right, let's check in with the viewers on the Facebook Live. See, that's the advantage of being on Facebook Live. You can be connected in real time to the thing. And you guys can have, if you have any questions you want to ask, any discussion points, let's see what we got here. You got to bring Josh Arnold back out with you when you go west, says Dwayne. Yeah, I love Josh. I would go anywhere with Josh. He's a good dude. Ryan posted the confidence pool link in the on the page here on Facebook, so that's very handy. We haven't seen Ryan Chambers in the leaderboard for a long time. I got no room to talk. I suck this year. I feel like last year I was really good. This year it's like no. When are you coming to Colorado Springs? I was just there, Joseph. I was in Colorado Springs. They love me and I love them. And we tentatively agreed that I would come back in fall of next year. Brian's putting on his headphones, stuck in traffic. What's he doing? All right, let's get him in here. You know him, you love him. He's the cat's ass contributor to All Pro Lines in all of its forms. He's a great stand-up comic. You should follow him on Twitter. If you're not doing that, then you're extra dumb. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Miller.
I was stuck in traffic. I got caught behind an incident with some police officers or something. And then the guy in front of me was just like really taking his time after that. I don't know. He must have got freaked out by those cops. He was like, I better stop at every stop sign for a while.
Wait, you're saying you have police officers creating a thing in Minneapolis? What?
Hard to believe, I know.
How could that be?
For once, they didn't seem to be doing anything terrible. I did drive past rather quickly. I was like, I got a podcast, boys. Don't kill anybody.
How are you, buddy?
Not too bad, despite the game yesterday. You know, the Vikings game was tough, but, you know.
Oh, my goodness. It's funny because last week I had Glenn scheduled, and as soon as the Vikings beat the Bills and maybe the best game of the year, I thought, I should switch it and get Brian in here so we can gloat or whatever. And I'm like, I don't want to be a dick to Glenn, and it's fine. I'll get Brian in. We'll talk about it. And then, of course, you come in on the eve of the most embarrassing loss maybe of the year, at least for a decent team, you know?
Yeah. Even some really good teams have some really bad games like that. I know some people want to think of it's like indicative, like, oh, this means the Vikings are actually been terrible this whole time. It's like, no, they just had a really bad game. I'm kind of the thought to, like, if you're gonna have a bad game, get it all out of your system. Go ahead and have everything go wrong to start fixing it. I mean, it was, I don't, well, now if they have a really poor showing against the Patriots on Thursday, then it's time for concern.
Yeah, but you proved the week before what you wanted, which is that we're good enough to hang with the big boys. And then you write this one off as just like occasionally you have a disaster game kind of deal.
If they were flipped, right? If they would have gotten crushed by Buffalo and then had this like eked it out against Dallas, and that's less good. I think people would have then said like, oh, well, then they face off against a great team and they can't handle it. Like, well, they can, just not always, especially if, man, Christian Darrisaw being out is really rough for their line. I don't know how much of that game you saw, but like, you even people hate on Kirk Cousins a lot. Even the biggest Kirk Cousins hater could not critique Cousins on this. It's like, well, what are you going to do?
Right. Yeah, I didn't see it. I was traveling all day. Yesterday was one of those weird travel days where I'm trying to write jokes on the plane as much as I can.
How was Bosses? We were at Bosses Comedy Club, right?
It was great. I mean, it's not a perfect venue. And it's interesting because it's an add-on to the building. Like, not recently, but it like
side room.
Once you explore the whole thing, you realize it's an add-on. But when you walk in, there's pretty considerable bar space. And then on the other side, there's a considerable, basically, chicken and pizza place.
Yes, and I'm wondering, still in that same spot. Yeah.
Well, it's in a new spot. It's a new spot. It's kind of in the suburbs of Sioux Falls, in a little town called T.
The suburbs of Sioux Falls.
I know. It sounds crazy. So, I wandered around for a while, and there was another dude wandering around. We were both trying to find the comedy room and couldn't find it. And somebody had to grab us and go, come here, I'll show you, and walked us to the back and go, you got to go through this green door. And we both looked at each other like, they're just going to whack us and kill us out there, right? Because it was an outdoor-looking door. And then you open that door, and there's this whole back room with like 140 people in there waiting to see comedy. It was great.
So it's a bigger room than it used to be then.
Yes. Oh, by a lot. In the old space,
it used to be quite small.
In the old space, it was tiny, almost like you can't even bother to go there, tiny.
Yeah.
And then they moved it. When I was there a year ago, they had it in like a pretty classy conference room in the hotel, which I actually really liked that venue. And right outside the door was like tiki bar and families all drunk with their kids in the pool inside the hotel. It was that kind of a deal.
Oh, well, that's a big thing up here. They call them resorts a lot of times.
Right. It's very regional.
Like, what it really means is there's three water slides and a bar that you can take your kids swimming in January, which is a big,
It makes sense. If it's like you don't have to fly anywhere. You can just pile the kids in and go somewhere for a day and a half and feel like you had a vacation. It's not crazy expensive. And I totally get that. That's how you and I ended up going to the water park together.
That was when we really clearly looked like you were on a date with a guy that looked like a young you, and we were like playing with that beach ball in the
you
water.
You and
like,
me,
the optic together. Of us bouncing that beach ball back and forth was. I'm sure there's someone on the internet who would pay extra Patreon money for that video, but then you remember the two single moms came in and they were like pretty good looking, and then when all of a sudden we were like, oh, we're a hop too, Remember we found that lady's ring? She lost her ring in the pool.
Oh my goodness, I would never have thought of that again, but yes, I remember that.
We were like very happy to like find the single mom's ring. And we were like, don't worry, we're not here. I mean, we're playing with this beach ball, but we still like the single moms. They're still nice ladies.
You know, when I first got married, I was in a hotel shower and it slipped off my finger, bounce right down the drain. Like, didn't even give me a chance to like shuffle and grab it. Like, the worst luck ever. And I just sat there like stunned for a while. And I called maintenance, and the guy goes, yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to get it, but I'll send our guy, And the guy comes up and he's like, he again reiterated like, yeah, there's no chance it's in here. And he unhooked the thing, pulled up the, like, exactly the nightmare in your brain of just like a sea of hair and goop. And my ring was in there, and he handed it to me. And I was like, holy shit, you saved my marriage for 9 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe the hotel was trying to tell you something. The shower's like, please, Shostaki.
But ever since then, I've always been extra cautious about hotel showers because, most drains have a regular drain, but not all of them do. Some have it. You just throw a ring right down there and never see it again.
Yeah, that's hard to explain. I stopped wearing my wedding ring during the pandemic because I got a little fat and it was tight. And also, I wasn't going anywhere, right? So, like, who am I? My wife knows that I'm married. So I just got out of habit and I haven't got back into that habit. And some people regard me with weird suspicion. I'm like, I'm not trying to get away with anything. I just got used to not wearing it. Like,
you're in the bar like, hey, hello, ladies.
But that's the thing is now I'm never really out anywhere anymore anyway. The only place I would be was somewhere I'm doing comedy at this point. And like, I remember one waitress was like, you don't have a wedding ring on. I was like, no, I'm not wearing one. And she was like, but she kind of got flustered. I was like, I just talked about being married for 45 minutes. If I was running a scam, terrible scam. Terrible scam.
Yeah, it's true.
I was like, she was like, well, how do people know you're married? I'm like, you know. You're saying that you know. Clearly, it's obvious. I just got used to not wearing the ring.
Hilarious. All right, let's do a kudos. Should we do that? We should do that, right? It's fun. Yeah, it's fun. Taps on the back. Guess who's 4-6, Brian Miller?
The Atlanta Falcons?
Oh, that actually, I think the Falcons are 5-6.
Five and six,
something like that.
Not terrible.
Not terrible, given the circumstances and the expectations.
Better than we thought, wouldn't you say?
What's that?
Better than we would expect it at this point.
Oh, by a lot. Yeah, they've already surpassed what I would have put the over-under at wins being. Yeah, no, the Lions, the Detroit Lions are.
Oh, right. Yeah, they are. The three game
win streak. New York and beat what we think is a good team. So
the Giants are definitely not bad.
The emotional. Well, their offense is not bad. Their defense is still bad. But screw it. That's a team that's fun to watch. It's just chock full of fantasy points every time they play. Both teams are scoring like crazy.
Three Jets Patriot game with 2 minutes left or whatever.
Yeah, the only touchdown was the fluke at the very last play. Like, oh, my goodness. Oof.
So who's your kudos on the Detroit? The whole team?
Yeah, I think so, because nobody expected them to get four wins by this point in the season.
No.
And I even as recently as a few weeks ago, I would have thought like, oh, they're just gonna be terrible the whole season again. The poor team. And now they've shown some life. I don't think they're going to the playoffs, but you know, they're actually your biggest threat right now. As a Vikings fan,
yeah, I mean the Packers and the Lions both. I mean, I think Chicago. Like, I'm more worried about Chicago beating the Vikings in terms of just head-to-head matchups. If I had to rank them,
Justin Fields having one of his crazy
Fields
days.
Is so explosive, and I feel like that there's the Vikings run defense has been so bad that you get mobile Justin Fields who can also throw. I could see that. Like, if I was going to pick an upset game, plus the Bears always do something to piss me off every year. Never fails. but, I mean, I'd tell you what. I think the Vikings could absolutely lose to the Packers, Lions, and the Bears going forward.
That's interesting.
It's possible. I don't – because I think they're all, you know, the Packers are bad, but they can still wake up a little bit. But I think the Bears are frisky despite their frustrating losses. And the Lions, you know, they're frisky too. So I don't think anybody's catching the Vikings standings-wise, though.
No, I don't think so either. No, I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, they're going to win the North.
You got a taps for us? What do you?
I do, to a Falcon. I thought this needed a backup because I thought you were going to do this one. I'm going to give a taps to my former Viking pal, Cordarrelle Patterson, crushing it for the Falcons. He ran for his ninth kickoff return, which is now the most in NFL history.
I can't believe he's ahead of Hester. It's amazing.
I know. I mean, that was kind of Hester's whole thing. But then also, you know, Cordarrelle's a great gunner. He's a good gadget player in running games. I think I always really liked him. I always thought he was good with the Vikings. I always thought he was – you just needed a crafty coach to use him. I remember thinking, like, Sean Payton could do really cool stuff with this guy in a way that, like, Leslie Frazier – and Zimmer just couldn't figure out. They just weren't creative enough. I think he was with Zimmer briefly, but definitely with Frazier. And it was like this guy had all this raw athletic talent, and he was a bad route runner. First off, bad route runner. But he's
Does he have bad hands too? Because they feel like they tried to make him a receiver for too long, and then they're like, this isn't working.
And the Vikings just didn't. They had these ideas for him, and to me, it was like, okay, a little bit like old boy. What's his futz over in Taysom Hill. Was like, is Taysom Hill a starting quarterback? No, I don't think Taysom Hill is a starting quarterback.
No.
But if you're smart, can he do a lot of really cool stuff that can really disrupt the game? Big time. And it always bugged me that the Vikings didn't play more into Cordarrelle's skill sets. It was always just like, we'll do a jet sweep and we'll throw it to him twice. It was always a jet sweep or throw it to him twice. It was like, I don't know, get creative. And I think, unfortunately, if he was with the Vikings, Kevin O'Connell would be able to do real cool stuff with him. But he's doing it for you guys. And maybe the greatest special teams player other than Justin Tucker over the last 20 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. I like it.
I mean, it's hard to say anybody's better at special teams than Justin Tucker.
Yeah. Right.
It's hard to say that anybody's better at their position than Justin Tucker.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Might Justin Tucker be the single greatest player at his, like, not the best kicker, but like if you were to rank all the players at the just in quality of their position.
Oh, in
is
terms
there anybody
of being...
who's so clearly the best ever? Maybe like Tom Brady, I guess, but there's like arguments to be made, right, with Brady. Like, okay, yeah, Belichick, or, you know, there's, but like with kickers, it's very narrow.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it's easy to measure. It's more quantifiable.
Yeah, nobody measures kicker win stats. You know, because you could say something about like, oh, this quarterback was, well, he didn't win that many games, you know, but nobody goes like, well, that kicker didn't win that many games. It's just, did he nail those kicks?
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's an interesting, best player of all time, could be, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that you wouldn't think of him, I mean, you don't think of a kicker. I think if you were to rank the 10 best players adjusted for their position, I mean, there's no question Tucker makes the 10.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
He's just clearly better than any one linebacker is better than any one linebacker, you know.
Yeah, I like this argument.
But Cordell Patterson,
right, Justin Tucker?
Yeah, absolutely. And but you're good for Cordero. I tell you, he's just a fun guy to have on your team, because every now and then you just, like, you know, every kickoff return, you sit down, you know, you sit up close. You
right.
Know, this could be the one. Every time they get him the ball in any kind of space, you're like, what's going to happen? He's got those long strides. He runs with real power.
Did you say old Mr. What's-His-Fuss?
Yeah, that was Taysom Hill. Couldn't think of his name. He's still with
the that would be a good, right? That would be a good nickname for Glenn Grizzard.
Write a theme song. You can sing it.
Old Mr. What's-His-Fuss. All right, let's move along to quiz time. Oh, wait, no. First, we got to do which comes first. That's a better
now story. It's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
Old Mr. What's-His-Futz.
Let's hope it sticks. All right, I'm gonna stick it to you a little bit. I'm gonna see where you are on this. What comes first, Brian? A Vikings playoff win or a Cowboys playoff win?
Well, I think they will both win a playoff game. So who plays first?
Oh, now
that's,
wait,
I think that's what it comes down to.
Let me just press you on this, because the Vikings have a virtual stranglehold on winning the division, and the Cowboys do not. The Cowboys are likely to not win their division. The Eagles are ahead of them, and of course the Giants are in the mix too. Yeah. So the Cowboys will likely have to play a much better team to open.
But will they? Because the NFC, I mean, if they don't play the Eagles, is there a much better team? They can't play the Eagles, right? I guess they could. But if they don't play the Eagles, I don't think there is – the NFC
obviously
does not
depends
have
on so many things.
Much better, right? I think you go Eagles, and then there's like Vikings, Cowboys. I think it's probably the next two NFC teams. And I don't think there's – I think there's only a lot of separation between the Eagles and everybody else. And even then, not as much as, say, like AFC, you go, well, you got Bills, Chiefs.
Okay.
So I was hoping for a Vikings bye. I was thinking there was a possibility, especially when the Colts were threatening early on, and that looked like old Jeff Saturday was going to pull out a big one.
Yep.
Man, if the Colts do this upset and the Vikings win, all of a sudden, but that head-to-head matchup, they're not going to beat the Eagles at this point by a full game. So they'll lose the head-to-head. The Eagles will get the bye.
There's only one team that gets a bye in this new universe.
Yeah, and there's only one team in each conference. So the Vikings won't get a bye. They'll have a good seed. I think they'll be an upper level seed, even as a division winner. So I think they both win a game on wild card weekend, unless it's, yeah, I think they both win a game. Would they play on wild card weekend? Probably.
All right. Well then then the follow-up question would be, who goes deeper in the playoff? Who goes to the Super Bowl? Who wins when they play again in the, what do you know, whatever that is.
I tell you what, I don't think that I know it was a horrible loss, but I don't think that if they play that game again, it necessarily goes that way. You know, the Cowboys converted so many third downs, which in a way is a big, right? Well, they converted a ton of third downs. They're the better team. But there was a couple that were so close, and you just take a couple of those third downs out, and it changes the momentum of that game so much early that I think then maybe the Vikings don't get buried like they do. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that the Cowboys for sure beat the Vikings, but I would rather someone else beat the Cowboys so the Vikings don't have to.
Right. Yeah, I got you.
I'd say they're the number two team I don't want the Vikings to play in the playoffs after the Eagles. I'll take anybody else.
Yeah, those seem to be the two scariest teams right now, but these things change, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes these teams that don't have it together, you know, like, would you be totally shocked if some Rams-ish kind of team like totally had a run of four or five wins? And
if the Rams-ish team is the Rams, I would be quite shocked.
Well, they look pretty bad right now.
They're cooked. But I mean, the Niners, there's a bunch of teams, you know, but I think they're all in that shuffle. It's a weird year of not a lot of front runners, especially in the NFC. And no, I think the Eagles could lose. I think the Vikings could beat the Eagles too. I don't think it's probable, but it's, I don't think it's, you know, nothing's impossible, but I don't even think it's, if you can beat the Bills, you can beat anybody.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of the way I'd look at it.
Yeah, I agree. Buddha Nichols chimes in, taps on the back to Ravens D. Jerry, obviously, yeah. Colts almost won. Does that count? Ron Milford taps to Kelsey. Yeah.
Three touchdowns, I believe.
Yeah, they were all to Kelsey. Yeah, all three of Mahomes. Yeah,
that was a Marge, great game.
Marge says Mahomes. Andrea says Pollard. Yep.
Pollard was great. I tell you what, frustrating for me as a Vikings fan, that Chiefs game, I don't think there's anything I love more than watching a Chiefs game when they're down 10.
Because I think so fun.
Because you know they're going to make some kind of comeback. They might not win. But to me, a Chiefs game down 10 is like, I'm guaranteed to watch 15 minutes of great football, at least for the next, you know, or whatever. Because
why don't they just play like they're down 10 from the beginning and score 60 points during the game? Why do they wait to turn it on?
I know, but remember, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago in their heyday, they would do that. Like, they would never wait to turn it on. And I mean, obviously, they're not waiting to turn it on, but it takes a minute to get going. I think the Bills are like that, though, because they play a little more conservatively in the midst of a game. But anytime there's like a 2 minute drive, it's like they just materialize on the other end of the field. It's like they teleported down there. Part of me that's, you know, some Brady would do that a lot. Smart thing that Brady does. He's got a team on the ropes. I love when Brady just goes hurry up and they just hurry, hurry, hurry. And I think more teams should do that. You get them on the ropes, just don't let them make substitutions. Play it like it's a 2 minute drill. It's just a backbreaking thing to do.
It would just be, why? It just seems like a fun thing to do, like at the end of the first quarter for no reason. Like, this drive, we're gonna do a 2 minute drill and just like keep them on their heels. They can't substitute out the D and just completely play a different style of football for a sec.
Yep.
And if it works, do it again and again and again.
I mean, the Chiefs were doing that almost to a fault, where it was like their defense was getting tired out because they would only get like a minute and a half break and Mahomes would score.
In between, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they're like, God, we're going to go back out already. You know, it was, I think that was actually making some of the Chiefs scores higher, the total game scores higher, because the Chiefs are racking up all these points and their, at the time, pretty decent defense was still like exhausted as though they were losing.
Yep. Yep. All right. Let's just do a little quiz time.
All right, kids. Put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
There's a game tonight, Brian, in Azteca Stadium. So I have some Azteca Stadium.
Oh, is the Mexico game tonight?
It's tonight.
Oh, I forgot that.
You were out there in traffic with the cops of Minneapolis. You know.
Yeah, I was keeping an eye on the streets.
In 2008, there was a game scheduled there, but it had to be moved because of field conditions. They had a concert and some heavy rains and some soccer games. And the field was a disaster, and the NFL pulled the game and moved it to Los Angeles. What game was that?
2010?
2018. It was somewhat
2018,
recently.
Yeah.
It was a big one. It was a big high-profile game with two teams that we thought might be the Super Bowl contenders. Was it
Chiefs-Patriots?
It was Chiefs. You're right about that.
Yeah. Chiefs-Ravens? Chiefs-Bills?
You're in the right universe. It was Chiefs-Rams. It was the good Rams era.
Right.
It was Todd Gurley Rams and Jared Goff and the high-flying offense. Crazy, great Rams. And that is the only game in the history of the NFL that both teams scored 50 points.
Right. That was that. That was, because it's funny when people were saying, and I'm all happy about it, people were saying, was this Vikings-Bills game the best regular season game of all time? That was, I heard multiple people, not just Vikings people. I heard people say that, and I was like, I think it's up there. I think it's probably top 10. My number one thing was, I was like, do you not remember the Rams-Chiefs game where there was over 100 points scored? Because that, to me, was, it was just like the lead kept changing, and it was crazy that there was that much scoring, and there was never a risk of a blowout for anybody.
Right.
That was an amazing game. And you got to wonder, do we get a game that good? Even like, let's say the field conditions were fine in Mexico, but still, it's kind of a more of a road game for both teams and all the travel. You know, you got to wonder if that game is as good if it's not played wherever. Yeah, I think it was played in Los Angeles, right?
It was in LA, and I was there.
You were at that game?
My buddy, Dan Kaufman, had a friend of his from Greece visiting. And Dan does not know football, and to this day doesn't care that he was at one of the greatest games in the history. He doesn't put it together. So Krista and I went, and we met Dan and his friend Christo. And we brought the wine, and we were supposed to meet them, but they got stuck because of a security thing and a purse issue. Some weird thing happened where they couldn't get in. So we didn't meet them until later, and we had all this extra wine, and I'm chugging it as fast as I can.
When you say all this extra wine, you're saying that you sneaked it. Oh, this is before you go into the stadium.
Before we go in.
So you're
and then
shotgunning wine.
I am chugging wine in the parking lot as we're going in, and I filled a water bottle full of red wine and hid it in my pants and snuck it into the stadium.
Classy, classy.
And both Dan and Krista were both like, dude, you got to take it easy. You got to pace yourself. I'm like, no, I got this. I'm getting hammered now, and then I'm going to be good for the next 4 hours. And it was perfect. And it was so fun.
What was it? On the way to the concert, didn't you get a little happy on the subway at a subway bar or something?
Have a hard time getting to a pink concert. Yeah, I didn't get pink drunk. I did not black out. I handled it perfectly. It was
because that was the same thing, right? Where you over pre-gamed and
drank at the concert too. Yeah, I definitely blacked out that night. And I was kicked out of a bar on the way home. We stopped in a bar, and it's New York City. No one even has a car, so it's not even.
Yeah, right.
It's not even a DUI problem. It's just like, you're too drunk to sit here in a bar when people come to get drunk. Like, oh, geez. That is the gold standard of me being drunk.
I seem to remember Krista being pretty chill with that, though.
Oh, she was great. I mean, it was a
that's a high outlier. Water. That's a legit thumbs up. Good. Thanks, wife/ex-wife. Like,
yeah, right.
Because if she wanted to, like, you were such a pain. I had to drag your drunk ass all around New York City. You would be like, yeah, you know, I'm like,
yeah,
I've been
right.
That guy a time or two, and you're just like, yeah, I'm real sorry, that was a problem.
I think as long as you keep those few and far between, if that's your regular life, then you're fucking kill yourself, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
But if it's once in a while, then it's comical. It's fun. It's a fun story.
You probably had more fun at that Rams Chiefs game than like you've ever had at a game. You had the perfect level of drunkenness.
Oh,
from start to finish.
Perfect weather. The home team was winning. It had huge fantasy implications, right? Kelsey and Gurley and Tyreek Hill, and you know,
it was like an all-star, two all-star teams almost. If you just run
really
down the roster
now, especially in fantasy,
other than Jared Goff.
But Goff was great in that era.
Yeah, that's true.
The offense was clicking. He was throwing. I mean, you know, he scored 50 points.
That game was amazing. That game was so good.
It was super fun. All right.
I think that's better than the Bills-Vikings game, I got to say. Because you know what I loved about that game? The Bills-Vikings game was great. And it was fun because there was some fluky stuff. And I like it's fun when fluky stuff happens. But to me, a truly great game is just like, no. A bunch of incredibly talented people executed at an astonishingly high level for a consistent amount of time.
Right. And points is fun. I mean, as a fan, it's more fun to have like fireworks of points. Every time you blink, there's another 70-yard bomb and you're like, what the? Hey, you know,
it's like watching arena soccer or something. Right? Yes. Like, wait a minute. They scored 21 goals.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but the Bills-Vikings game was great because it was two high-profile teams that could be Super Bowl contenders, and the ending was like that went back and forth. Every time you thought it was over, it wasn't over, plus overtime. Like, those are all good ingredients. But, yeah, I would take points if I was picking. And it was Monday night, and it was perfect weather, and the home team won. So, like, the Rams house people, it was before SoFi, so it was in the –
Right.
That's USC Stadium where they had whatever that place is.
I forgot that's when they were playing. Is it the Rose Bowl, right?
That's the Rose Bowl. That's what
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here's a couple of other questions that I thought were interesting. I did not know the answer to. Higher elevation, Denver or Mexico City?
Mexico City.
Yeah, it's by a lot. I didn't know this.
Yeah, it's way up there. I forget why I know that, but I remember like seeing that elevation being like, well, you don't think of Mexico City as like, you know, you think of like the Himalayas or, you know, like Denver or something. It's like, no,
It's the stadium there, Azteca Stadium, 7218. So 7,218 wow. feet. And Mile High is the big one here, and it's 5,280. So it's
which I still think is, by the way, I think they lie about that. It's probably like 4,900. But if it's close enough, like no one's going to – you want to call it that. You know, you go, well, we got to call it Mile High, right? You got to round up to make it sound good. Like, you get a tape measure out there. I'm telling
fishy.
You, come up
yeah,
short.
It's fishy. Yeah,
I don't. It's too. It's too, if it was like it's 5,314. I'd be like, that's an accurate answer. You know.
All right.
Quick question: do you get screwed up at altitude? Like, if you were doing shows or drinking or whatever, if you're in Colorado, do you get in trouble with that?
I've never been aware of it being a problem. I've been told that it's an issue with hangovers. I'd never put that together, or it doesn't seem to be an issue for me, but maybe.
I was at a wedding and I got pretty drunk a couple of nights in a row. Didn't get drunk any faster. I didn't feel like I felt the same when I woke up. I, you know, went for a run. It was fine.
Yeah.
So I don't, I'm not sure if I was playing a football game, you know,
you calling the players a pussy. You're calling them pussies. What you're saying?
I think I'm just extra manly, but you know, I'll give them an allowance, but I can see where if you're like a, you know, if you're a quarterback and you're sprinting every play down the field, that adds up on you.
Or if you have sickle cell, apparently that's an issue with.
Oh yeah, there's a couple of those, one of those guys literally can't play.
He doesn't play in Denver. That was yeah.
Yeah, that's legit.
Yeah, that sounds scary.
It's very much so.
So you're calling him a pussy too? Is what you're saying?
No, he gets a free pass. I had a friend who just had a big attack of sickle cell, so it's on my radar. I'm watching sickle cell.
I'll break this into a two-part. Again, I don't expect you to know this stuff. I just thought
that's good. I don't know a lot of things.
Largest NFL stadium in terms of capacity. Which one is it?
The largest NFL. I'd say it's Jura World in Dallas.
Oh, that's a good guess. According to this, it's MetLife. It's where the Jets and Giants play. 82,500.
That makes sense. Although, you know, the rumor is that Jura World breaks fire code all the time. That packed all these extra seats in there, that they sell tickets for like seats that aren't seats and stuff, you know.
Yeah, that sounds like something he might do.
Something Jared would do.
Which is interesting because there are several college stadiums that I know off the top of my head that are bigger than that. It's fascinating that they
and soccer stadiums know. Tend to run bigger than that.
Right. So that's the next question. Which is bigger, El Azteca or MetLife?
El Azteca.
Yep. It's 87,500.
Not by much though.
Yeah, it's really not by much. It's a big place.
MetLife is huge, though. That's got to be quite a bit bigger than the next one down, right? You know what the second American stadium is?
I don't. I didn't see that. It doesn't feel huge. I've been there a few times. It doesn't strike me as being huge. Like when you go to University of Georgia game, that's 90-something. You're aware of it being really big.
Yeah.
But I don't remember thinking that about MetLife. I've been there a couple times. I went to a couple Jets games with Aaron back in the day, and then
I remember would do that. Yeah,
that was really fun. It was really we did a Thursday night game. It was just so fun to just get there at like 5 o'clock and fuck around for 3 hours, just drink beer and throw the football. It's all fun and games until we were throwing football with a kid who was near us. It was his football. And Aaron somehow, in catching the ball, like opened up a wound on his hand. And the blood is just the football is just smeared in blood. And we have to like sheepishly give it back to the kid. Send him back to his parents.
New York. It was going to get blood on it sooner or later.
And that's how that kid got AIDS from Aaron Hodges.
You got Hodgins disease.
It's the least fun way to get AIDS. that was great fun. And then once we went to see Falcons at Jets in a sideways rainstorm, which was ridiculous.
Ooh, the place. Yeah.
Tickets were cheap because they knew the rain was coming. Like all week, we looked at the forecast every day. I looked like 7 days out. 100% chance of rain on Sunday. Like, and I would look next day, like, come on, bump down to 92 or something. 100% chance.
I had a chance to get playoff tickets when the Vikings were in the playoffs, when they were temporarily playing outdoors at the college stadium. And it was the game.
I forgot that.
The temperature was like the Gophers field. Yep. It was at TCF Bank Stadium. Or no, that's where the Vikings are now. It's TCF. Yeah. And they were over in Dinky Town where the university is, and the tickets were like $20, and multiple people offered them to me, but it was like -20. And I was just like, can't do it. I cannot. It's just so cold. I mean, it was like dangerously cold. You know, people said, they said, a friend of mine worked there. He said they weren't even putting the beers on ice. They actually had the beers like in a warming thing, and they would hand you a warm beer. And by the time you were to the bottom of it, would freeze. The bottom of the can would freeze. It was so cold. And that was the
beers. I don't let my beers freeze.
Viking Seahawks, and then they're winning, and I'm sitting there in my house thinking, I'm so stupid. I could have been at this amazing playoff victory, and everything could have been great. And then Blair Walsh missed that kick, and instantly I was like, thank Christ.
Oh,
I did not go to this game.
Oh,
it was the wide left game. And I was so crushed in my living room. I just laid on the floor like I looked like a chalk outline of myself. I just collapsed and laid there. My wife laughed, and I just lay there like, just moaning. And I just remember thinking, as bad as I feel right now, which was so bad, maybe the second worst I've ever felt at a sporting event, maybe the worst, that and Favre's pick against the Saints.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I had to walk 7 blocks to my car in this negative 20 degree weather with this feeling, I couldn't handle it. I would just jump off the top of the stadium. It was too much. So I was instantly so relieved that I had not stood out there in the cold.
It's hilarious. I remember where I was for that Favre pick game. I was so rooting for that team that year. They were so much better than the Saints. It was such
a rip-off. They were so much better. Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of those games, like from a fan point of view, you're annoyed that the lesser team makes it to the Super Bowl.
And Favre back to the Super Bowl would have been so cool, which is a great storyline.
Right.
It was such a bad pass. I mean, that's what you get with Brett Favre. It was like, dude, just run 5 yards, kick the field, we're going to win. Oh, that was... Yeah, those are neck and neck. Those are 1A and 1B. I can't even think of anything else that even comes close to is like just devastating.
Well, maybe this year.
Well, there's always this year. There's always another year.
We are lining up for a big heartbreak in the playoffs this year.
I mean, the Vikings usually lose in the playoff by like a massive margin. That's more their deal, right? It's like they either win by 1 point or they lose by 30.
40-3.
Jeez. I mean, that Eagles game. That Eagles playoff game after the Minneapolis Miracle was kind of like that, where you're just like, this game too, for the Dallas game, I thought, man, this looks out of hand in the first quarter. I thought Dallas they were just dominating. It was fun.
That could have been the Falcons' year, actually. The Falcons lost to the Eagles and were like inside the 10, like first and goal inside the 10 at the end of the game and couldn't score.
Julio Jones was cooking and Matt Ryan was still standing firm and they were all...
Was back when Matt Ryan was the 11th best quarterback in the world. Those were the salad days.
Hey, he looked all right with the Colts, though.
Where do you put him now? He's the 26th best?
Yeah, 25, 24.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's got that vibe of Peyton in his last year, where he's like, the arm's not there, but the brain is. It's a good placeholder. You know, I tell you what, if I was, you know who needs Matt Ryan? They can't do it. Trade deadlines pass. The Jets, the team that needs Matt Ryan. All the Jets need to be a decent playoff team is a quarterback that doesn't screw them over.
Well, it looks like they might go back to Flacco. He's sort of he's the Matt Ryan, but 5 years later, right?
Yeah. I mean, Zach Wilson's terrible. He might get better, but at this point, like, why are you risking a possible playoff appearance? Like, you're probably going to work with Zach Wilson for the whole next year. Anyway, you're probably going to see what he does in year two, right? Because you spent this much draft capital on him. And I get that. So I'm not saying bench him forever, but I'm saying, you know what? For the rest of the season, just say, we're going to sit the kid. We're going to let him learn. We're going to go to the playoffs. We'll let him watch. And next year, we'll come back. We'll give him one more shot.
Right. That's interesting.
But yeah. I don't think it's going to work out for him, but I think they have to stick with him. But like, the Jets could very easily get a playoff appearance, which was so unexpected.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I think if I'm the Jets, I'd do something different for a while. And if it's – I mean, we're always worried about we're going to shatter his ego. This is not little league. This is if it hurts your feelings, tough shit. Sit down.
It's a good test of him in a way, because they bench the kid and just tell him, like, look, you're benched for now. As long as Flacco's ankles hold up or whatever, we're keeping him in. Honestly, yeah. Mike White is their other – I'd take Mike White over Zach Wilson right now.
Like, is Mike White? Green. Mike White's the one that came out of nowhere and had like two great games and then disappeared.
Yep, had two really good games, which is two more than Zach Wilson's had.
Now, why can't? All right, is this me being an ignorant fool? Why can't you just do one quarter of each of those three guys and then see who gets to play in the fourth quarter? Like, what you're so bad right now that you can't continue to do what you're doing. Put each one in for a series and see where we are.
Game plan wise, that's tough because, you know, you got different strengths for different guys. And
makes it hard for the defense too.
It does make it hard for the defense. It does make it hard. I mean, I think what they should do is just surprise start Flacco. I don't know how late you have to, or start Zach Wilson for one series and then put Flacco in. And the defense is like, wait, what? We weren't ready for Flacco.
Right.
There's no law against that, right? Because you're not declaring anybody injured or not injured or anything. You just say, yep, yeah, we're going to start Zach. And then you do. And then boop.
I just feel like with quarterback, we have these kid gloves where we're like, yeah, you can't, but it's so important. Like, just fucking try something different for a series. That's what they do in college, and sometimes it works great.
Yeah, in basketball, they're like, yeah, sit this guy down for a little while. Let's see what goes. I mean, it's obviously a different sport, but.
Fucking Alabama did it in the national championship game with a true freshman who didn't play all year at halftime. They just switched quarterbacks, and Tua Tagovailoa won them a national championship.
Yeah. I mean, I just with the Jets, I think you're clearly not going to win the Super Bowl, right? But you're inexplicably good enough to make the playoffs. You're still kind of in the middle of a rebuild regardless. Just give your fans a little excitement. Like, the fans deserve a playoff game.
Yeah, I've talked myself into it. If I'm coaching, all three of those guys touch the ball in the first half of the next game. And then at halftime, we commit to one of them after that.
Well, you know, speaking of Taysom Hill, that's what Peyton was doing with Jameis and Taysom when he was still the coach. And I thought that worked great for them. And it was very baffling for the defense. Like, we're kind
of, I don't mind it with Jameis, because you're not benching one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game to put in a kooky play thing. It's fine with Jameis. Yeah, I'm surprised they don't use him more this year, because that team's terrible too. Why? What are they? They're committing to Andy Dalton for why? What are they doing?
Yeah, because they're not gonna, like, again, the Jets is a great example. If the Jets could get a hold of Andy Dalton, start Andy Dalton. Like, he's not great, but he won't screw up enough. You got a great defense. Like, they would have won. Andy Dalton would have won that Patriots game yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I think you convinced me of that.
Yeah, so I don't think they
need
that
much.
But
the Saints are going nowhere right now. Why don't Jameis is at least more exciting. He's going to sling the ball over the field. He's more Favre-like. Right?
I don't think the Saints coach likes Jameis, is my gut feeling.
Well, what about Taysom Hill? Play him. It's not going to be worse than Andy Dalton.
I kind of don't understand why more teams didn't pick up on the Taysom thing and say, why don't we try to find a backup quarterback who's kind of a gadgety guy that we can work with? Because let's face it, you're basically going to lose with your backup quarterback. I mean, all your backup is really there for is to Cooper Rush you to two wins out of four or something.
That's the dream.
Right. But if you're, you know, if Kirk Cousins breaks his ankle and he's out, the Vikings are cooked. It doesn't matter. If almost any team legit loses their starting quarterback, they're cooked anyway.
Right.
I mean, it is what it is. So, like, have a backup who's gadgety enough that it can actually be helpful during the thing. And if a guy's gadgety enough to be helpful with your regular rotation, he's probably at least close to as good as whatever jackwagon you would have had as your backup anyway. Like, why would you be adding value to that position all the time, as opposed to just like the fingers crossed? You know, a couple teams have a good enough backup where you're like, okay, you know, if you've got Case Keenum, you know, or there's a couple of guys like that where you're like, that's a good backup, you could win some games. Most teams' backups are terrible. So it's like, have a guy who contributes when things are good, and you just go, man, if Kirk Cousins breaks his leg, or, you know, whatever, whoever our starter is, you know, Patrick Mahomes goes down, like, yeah, we're just banged anyway, so what are you going to do?
Jack Wagon. There's another good nickname for Glenn. Let's get a fucking Jack Wagon in here.
I always like Jack Wagon. It sounds dirtier than it is. Big fan.
I love talking to you, man. We got to run. You got anything you want to plug? Where are you telling jokes? What are you doing?
I'm doing some gig in Wisconsin this week. I don't even know where it is. I got to look it up. But Fargo, New Year's, the Cellar, Front Street Tap Room, the Cellar downstairs. I'll be doing the night before New Year's and New Year's Eve. So big fun in Fargo. If you're in that area, if you're anywhere near there, plan your New Year's. Come out and hang out.
That's cool. Don't forget Monkey Knife Fight. Use the code ALLPROLINES to get 100% deposit bonus up to $100. Cameo. And Kostaki.com has all the gig info for me. Follow Brian Miller on Twitter. He's a very funny joke writer, which you already knew if you knew that he helps me write. A lot of my great jokes are from Brian Miller. Thanks for being here, man. Always good to
talk. Of course, anytime.
All right, let's play a little music. We bring it down. Still learning how to produce, right? Take it easy, guys. We'll talk to you in a week.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.